Okay, good morning. We're starting the recording now too. This is very different for me, so I pray that all of you are praying hard for me, as awkward as this is to look at a device and not at people. We do have Jeff and Dan, and they will be praying at the end of the service time here. So just to start, I'd like to have a word of prayer to start out our service together. Father God, we do thank you so much for this time to come here, Lord, the few of us here, and to be able to reach out. We thank you for technology, this an ability to be able to communicate to one another. And Lord, I do pray that with this time, you would just bless it, bless the reading of your word, the studying of your word. We thank you so much, God, for how you're working and will work in lives through all of this. Father, we just praise you for being such a sovereign, mighty God, that we can look to a powerful God. We can look to a mighty, mighty God that can reach and touch lives all throughout. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you do have Bibles at home, I encourage you to open your Bibles to John chapter 1. Just for you to know, I will be trying to do this also again on Wednesday night, whether I do it from home or work, I'm unsure. Just kind of rolling with the flow as things are changing each day. So what I'd like to let you know too is if you have any issues with anything audio or visual, please do comment. Let Jeff and Dan are watching that. Mark is upstairs recording this so we can get it out too. So I'm going to get right to what we have for this morning. So today's message is come and see. I want to continue our study through the Gospel of John. I think we'll find that it's encouraging and timely. These times we're living in are filled with questions, and I want to take this time to point to one that Christ asked, what are you seeking? We looked at last week, John was the voice, as he said, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And this is something we need to do at this time too, as it may seem, and it is, chaotic in the land that we're living. We need to make straight the way of the Lord, pointing them to Christ, telling them to look to Christ in this time, as we ought to be as Christians. And I pray that this study will encourage all of us to seek, find, and invite. We will see here that we'll start out and we'll end today with four disciples following Christ when we're all finished. And each one had a different testimony of how they came to Christ, whether it was a brother reaching out, or even just conversation with a brother that brought them to the Lord. But we must remember too, as we look to the text here, John 15:16, Jesus later reminds the disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So even as we look at this text here today, it is informational for us and guiding us and encouraging us how to reach out to the community. But we also know that we have a mighty God that is working on the hearts and souls of people now. And that we have a mighty God that goes behind closed doors, that can work and touch lives. And so that with understanding this, Jesus even said that we respond with yes and amen. So the text we'll be looking at is verses 35 to 51, the 3 points are seek, find, and invite. So I normally would say stand and read, but if you would like to at home, but I'm going to read the text for us today in John 1, verses 35 to 51. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? They said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and they saw where he was staying and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You are called Cephas, which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Let me have a quick word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. Lord, what we know not, please teach us. Let me speak what you want spoken. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. So first we have here in the text is this emphasis of seeking. Seeking. Jesus is walking along. We are told here the writer of the Gospel of John, being the Apostle John, he gives us these details here. And here we are the next day, starting in verse 35. And he's standing with his two disciples, and he looks, and he sees Jesus walking by, and he emphasizes, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. They follow Jesus. They seek after Jesus, and we know this, that they're seeking, because Jesus asks them, what are you seeking? And this is a question that they all need to be asked. What are you seeking? These disciples don't go after Christ because of something they see. It's not so much even that they've seen a miracle or some great work, or they look at Jesus and see that, well, there's something we can gain in tangible ways. No, they go because of what they heard proclaimed. They hear John emphasize something, and it made me think of Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? John the Baptist, we know, we looked at that last week. He preached, and we were given a sermon in Matthew 3 where he emphasized repent. Repent. Turn from the world, turn from yourself, turn from anything of this world, and seek after Christ. Here we see John proclaim just a simple line, behold the Lamb of God. And we looked at that last week, that even just behold that word there, and emphasizing that he was a lamb, and that he was of God, is powerful. And it was so powerful that his two disciples just leave him and follow Christ. John proclaims this, and immediately the teaching that John gave these men is exercised by them just turning and following Christ. Now after this, we know many people seek Christ, but not for this reason. They're not seeking Christ because he is the Lamb. They're not seeking Christ because they think he's of God. They seek Christ because they want to gain something for themselves. They're looking for the tangible. And this is something we see today. We see people wanting Christ, desiring Christ to give them the best life now. They seek Christ because they just want things fixed for their life. They want Jesus to come in, change the situation so that it's better for them, and then they just want to put Jesus back out of their life. They're not seeking him for spiritual reasons. They're not seeking Christ for eternal reasons. They want to, this world, so many seek heaven, but they don't want a Savior. They seek the golden streets, the pearly gates, the new apartment in heaven. But whether Jesus is there or not, it's not important to them. But see, this option doesn't exist. Without Christ, we know, as he proclaimed, he's the way, the truth, the life. No man will come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And what's great is we see that even here, they seek after him. And then you look in verse 39, it says, he said to them, come and you will see. So they came and they saw where he was staying and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now what does that mean, the 10th hour? Now likely this is either 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. Now some lean that it was 10 p.m. and that's why they stayed. It was late, so they hung out. But whether it was 10 a.m. or 10 p.m., is not of great importance, but I would lean more towards that it was 10 a.m. because it says that they stayed with him that day. So we see that these two, they come and they seek him, and then they stay with him for the day. They spend time with him. And this is something for us to think about. As even here, as our nation is having to make some hard decisions, as our state, our government, local governments, are now, we have many of you, are quarantined or are having to stay in where you are. What a time to spend with Christ. What an opportunity to really study the Word. That we could use this time to arm ourselves with knowing the Word of God better, so that when we come out of this time, we're able to proclaim Him even the more, emphasizing His Word. Why did they spend time with Christ? Because even if we look back in verse 29, John emphasized, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The world needs to see Christ. They don't need to see us. They don't need to see a turning in of just what God can give them in that. The emphasis they need, greater than anything of this world, is to solve the sin issue that's keeping them from heaven. So we see these two disciples seek him. But next we see is this finding. So they seek after Christ. They find him. And we just talked about that they stay with him. But I love is that there's something interesting here we find in verse 41. Before Andrew stays, he first found his own brother, Simon. He goes and finds his brother first. Before he stays with Christ, he goes out and seeks his brother and brings him to Christ. And it's such a simple line. We found the Messiah, which means Christ. We found Christ. Come. What's great is we see is that we're not given details here. What was this conversation? What did they talk about? These three that were there. But what we do see is they seek Christ. They spend time with Christ. We don't see them coming to him and saying, listen, I hear you're trying to set up the kingdom. Let me give you some ideas. I hear you're trying to do this. Let me tell you the best way to do that. No, they come to Christ to seek him. But there's also such an urgency set up by Andrew when he, before he goes and sees that, he's confident that he's found the Christ. But there's such a desire that he cannot go unless he grabs his brother. I must go and get my brother. Such a love is shown here, and it's reciprocated. Because we see Peter, Simon, he doesn't argue with them. There's no conversation back and forth. There's no like, well, let me seek these things out. Let me give me some time. No, he just goes. But also in verse 42, it says he brought him to Jesus. Again, this love of a brother to brother, just family. And church, I understand, this is the hardest time, the hardest thing to talk to our family, isn't it? To tell them about Christ. But we see such a tenderness here. As soon as Andrew finds this, he goes to Peter. And he shows him. Such a simple invitation. And I want to give to you a J.C. Ryle, what he says on this. The fact before us is most striking and instructive. Out of the three members, first members of the Christian church, one at least was brought to Jesus by the private, quiet word of a relative. He seems to have heard no public preaching. He saw no mighty miracle wrought. He was not convinced by any powerful reasoning. He only heard his brother telling him that he has found a Savior himself, and at once the work began in his soul. The simple testimony of a warm-hearted brother was the first link in the chain by which Peter was drawn out of the world and joined to Christ. The first blow that in that mighty work by which Peter was made a pillar of the church was struck by Andrew's word, "We have found the Christ." Amazing. And even as we think about Andrew, some, you may have read this and look at this and say, I didn't know one of the disciples was named Andrew. But you knew of a man, a disciple named Peter. Peter becomes one that is mentioned many times. He's talked of a lot. Christ has a connection with Peter. But we must remember that how did Peter come to know? How did Peter find Christ? He received a simple invitation by a brother. And he was brought, verse 42, to him by a brother. Such a love. And this is what the world should see about us. So how do we do this? I can't go and grab someone and take them to Jesus, but we can in his word. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for proof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." The word. Remember back in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have the Word. Because we have the Word, we can point people to the Word. And that's where even in this time that we may be separated physically, we can write to each other. We can talk to each other. We can email. We can send a letter. We can talk and say, "Listen, look at what I've read. Look at this sweet truth I found." Because we know, as Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." We see this. We see that even as they come and they show. And where do we see even the word actively used? Look with me in verse 43. The next day, Jesus goes out. He seeks Philip. And Philip was there. He goes and finds Nathanael, verse 45, and he says, "Listen, we found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote." Wrote. These men knew the Bible. They knew the scriptures. And there's instant reaction of following the Lord because of the knowledge they had. Now, we know that Nathanael he challenges him. "Can anything come?" And we'll talk about that more next. But we see that the enticement, the encouragement says, "Listen, this is the one whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about." We can use that same way in pointing people to Christ, pointing them and pointing them to the Word. Because there is many in this world that are seeking. But what are they seeking? If they truly are seeking eternal life, we point them to Christ. For this is the only way, the truth, the life. And if they find him, they will find a wonderful thing. So how do they know? We invite them. And my third point is invite. And this truly is a fruit of a Christian. This is a fruit of a Christian. Once you come to Christ, there ought to be a desire in you to go and find other people. And I know you may say, "But Pastor, my family, they're not welcoming to this. They don't like this Christ." But this is the only Christ. I pray that they're seeing a tenderness about you, a love. Because even as we look here, as Philip goes and says, "Listen, Nathanael, we found him." Who? "We found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." He doesn't hide anything. He's son of Joseph. He's Jesus of Nazareth. So instantly, what does Nathanael say? "Can anything good come out of Nathanael? Out of Nazareth?" Almost like a jab, which we would think would be a jab. But it was an understanding then. But I love that even as this is, what does he say? "Come and see. Come and see." He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't try to twist his arm. Where do we see this also used? If you would flip back, it should just be a page back for you in Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, we find in here, in verse 13, it's on the road to Emmaus. So here's Jesus, he's risen from the grave, he's walking along, and he joins these two. Verse 13 says, that very day, two of them are going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they're talking. They're talking about what just happened. Jesus rose from the grave. And then Jesus kind of just slides in there and starts talking to them and asks them what's going on. Verse 18, I love verse 18. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him and said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in their days? These poor guys have no idea that they're talking to Christ. Here they are just going along, talking to Jesus, saying, how do you not know this? Not even realizing they're talking to Jesus himself. So what does Jesus do? He asks them, what are these things? And he hears their concerns. He hears and he listens to them. Where does he point them? Jump down to verse 27. It says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. These men, likely Jewish boys that knew the first 5 books by heart. They knew the Word of God. So even as Jesus is going through this, it's not that he has to hold this book, because these men knew the Word. He starts with Moses and the prophets, and he walks through with them, pointing them in the text, saying, this is me. This is me. And I want to look to Ryle again. And he says this, Christ is the sum and substance of the Old Testament. To him, the earliest promises pointed in the days of Adam and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. To him, every sacrifice pointed in the ceremonial worship appointed at Mount Sinai. Of him, every high priest was a type, and every part of the tabernacle was a shadow, and every judge and deliverer of Israel was a figure. He was a prophet like unto Moses, whom the Lord God promised to send, and the king of the house of David, whom came to be David's Lord as well as a son. He was the son of a virgin, the lamb foretold by Isaiah, the righteous branch mentioned by Jeremiah, the true shepherd foreseen by Ezekiel, the messenger of the covenant by Malachi, and the Messiah who, according to Daniel, was to be cut off, though not for himself. The further we read in the volume of the Old Testament, the clearer do we find a testimony about Christ. The light which inspired writers enjoyed in ancient days was, at best, but dim compared to that of the gospel. But the coming person they all saw afar off, and on whom they all fixed their eyes, was one and the same. The Spirit which was in them testified of Christ. He points them to the text. And I believe this is done on purpose for us, for all of us, to understand that we too, when we're teaching folks about the Christ, about we're telling them about Christ, we don't just need to just tell them to look out into this world, look at the trees. No, we point them to the text. And we show them that Jesus was the one of the promise from the very beginning of Genesis right to here where we have in these texts. He tells them, listen, Philip says, Nathanael, come and see. And this is something we should do as we're talking to them. And you may say, well, right now it's kind of tough with being quarantined. I can't get out. I can't do these things. I certainly shouldn't just go out and preaching and saying these things. But the thing is that there is many that are not. There's many that aren't quarantined. We have firemen, police, EMT, nurses, banks, grocery stores, pharmacies, and construction. Most of you know that my other job is in construction. And this week, it's ramp-up time. People are trying to get as much done as they can while kids aren't on school grounds, or even in case they are shut down, try and get ahead as much as possible. And these are times that many are asking questions. I think of this just this past Monday. I had a great conversation with a person that I never would have been able to have this conversation if it wasn't for the situation we're in. as they were scared. They're wondering, what's this going to be? Is this the end? And I encourage them to think about their own life. Not to worry about the whole world, but to worry about their life. And do they have a right relationship with the Maker? And I had the wonderful chance to be able to, when I saw him again on Thursday, I gave him one of the booklets, The Gospel According to Jesus by Paul Washer. And I'm looking forward to having more conversation with him. All of this because of the situation we're in. Folks, people are open to the gospel. People are fearful, yes. And it doesn't mean that we should just say that we don't care. Because I know most of you, you do. Myself, I do. Do I have a concern that while I'm out about at work and coming and driving all over the place that I could bring something home to my family? Yes. So do I live myself in fear and hide? No, I make proper decisions. As they tell us, you take off your clothes, we take showers. I take a shower when I get home. Aaron probably wouldn't let me in if I didn't anyway. But we do these things to be mindful of that. We don't live in a terrible fear. We serve a mighty, sovereign God. And we lean on him. We lean on the wisdom that he has given men. We must remember that. This wisdom that men are getting even to go through these times is given from God. The breath that we have each morning is given to us from God. All of this is from God. And we need to point our friends, our loved ones to Christ at this time. And we must not be scared and say, well, Pastor, I don't know all the verses. I may not know this. Well, then use this time to study, but also lean on the sovereignty of God, that he will even guide your finger as you point to the text. As you talk to somebody, you can just tell them, call them up and say, listen, I've been wanting to talk to you about the gospel. I have, but I've been scared too. And I want to share now. I want to tell you about this. Because we know, James 4:14 tells us, for what is our life? It's even a vapor, appears for a little time. And this is a time that people are thinking about those things. They're unsure of the end. They're unsure of what's going to happen next. But one thing we do know that we can have confidence in is in Jesus Christ. That we can look and say, well, is he the one? As they did. They came. They sought him. And even look at this passage here. As in verse 46, Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You can imagine that in your mind, you would think that as Nathanael walks up to Jesus, Jesus is going to say, hey, there is good there. Look at me. But verse 47, Jesus says, Nathanael coming, seeing Nathanael come toward him, he yells, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. See, Nathanael lived amongst many who were deceitful. But here's Nathanael coming, genuinely seeking. Jesus knew his heart. He knew Nathanael was coming and desiring to know, is he the one? The one that Moses talked about, the one that prophets talked about. Is he this one? And that's what I want to close with in challenging us. That as we look to these verses, as we look to this text, Nathanael responds very interestingly. In verse 48, how do you know me? How do you know me? This may seem odd. You say that all Jesus said was that he was an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no deceit. He said his name, okay. But it's almost like you can feel Nathanael's question is deeper than just knowing his name. How do you know me? Church, we see that when we talk to people about Christ. We point them to the text. We guide them through. I mean, I hear this more than most of you probably do as I preach. And you come to me and you tell me that this text, wow, this jumped out at me. I'm so glad you shared that. That's not me. That's Jesus. Because he knows you. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He knows what text you need to read. So in this time that we are needing to stay in, I pray that you're reading even the more. You're studying even the more. And you're inviting people to Christ even the more. Having full confidence that he knows what they need to hear. He knows it. He knows what you need to mention to them. Just read the text. Point them to the text. See, the message hasn't changed, church. The message is the same from Genesis right till today. The same message that John the Baptist preached, the same message that Jesus preached. The world must repent, believe, and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Why repent? Because you must turn. You must turn from this world. You must turn from self. You must turn from anything. Even in this time, as we're seeing, many false teachers are being obviously shown for their falseness. Even the Catholic Church is telling the people, listen, because you can't come to confession, look to God directly. They should have been saying that from the very beginning. Church, we can tell people, look, as you're being confused, look to the Word of God. Look to the Word. We can have confidence. How should they come to the Word, though, is important, because you ask them, what are you seeking? Jesus asked them, what are you seeking? Because they must come. If they want to be led by Christ, Psalm 25:9 says, He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way. They need to come with humility. They need to come humbly to the Lord and desiring to be led by Him. Not leading themselves, not coming to them and saying, Jesus, listen, I know. Can you just bless me? Can you fix this situation so I can go about? No, you need to come humbly, not on your terms. Come humbly, not in your way, but His way. Come humbly and desire that He is the way, the truth, the life. He also is, as we looked in John 1, He's the Word. We saw that in there that He is the light and He is the life. No one will find life, eternal life, apart from Jesus Christ. So as to close this out, I'm going to ask Jeff to come up and Dan after him to pray for the church. And I pray that you'll be praying too, and I will come up after them and close this out in prayer. Jeff.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for just the technology that we have to be able to get your word out to the congregants of this church, to their friends, their family, Lord. I pray that you would bring about a peace amongst people that are listening, that are worried, that to know that you are in control. You're in control of everything around us, and that you have ordained this to happen for your reasons and your reasons alone, Lord. I pray that you would just give us the faith to follow what you have to say, that you, the way you direct us, and where you want us to go, and how you want us to talk to our family members and our friends about you and the gospel. Pray you just be with us for this time. In your name I pray. Amen.
Well, sovereign Lord, we do thank you for these times, Lord, and we know that you are in control of all things, Lord, and if it's your will, Lord, that this nation be afflicted by this, Lord, we know that it is good. And Lord, if you choose to take it away, Lord, we know that it is good, Lord. But Lord, let us keep on trusting you, Lord. We know that all things work out for good for those who love you, Lord, and are called according to your purpose. But Lord, we do pray for those that are afflicted by this, Lord, and that are affected by these times. And Lord, we pray that they continue to they do turn to you, Lord, for guidance, for trusting in you, Lord. And Lord, and we pray if they don't know you yet, Lord, that they see their sin, Lord. They turn from their sin, put their trust in Christ, who has died for them and bought for them, Lord. Lord, we pray that more see what Christ has done for them, Lord, and that they come to Him, they start hating their sin, Lord, and they truly know the Savior, Lord. Lord, let us continue to preach the word, Lord. Preach your gospel, Lord, so that more may come to the knowledge of Christ, Lord, and no longer are continuing on business as usual, Lord. That they see that in an instant that all these good common graces that are given can be taken away. And Lord, the only rock that we have to stand on is Christ. And Lord, let us look to Christ and to trust in him. And Lord, continue to pray for this nation, Lord. We pray that it does turn from the evils that it has been doing. And Lord, that it turns to Christ, Lord. And Lord, we pray these things, Lord. And Lord, give us strength and boldness to preach your gospel and to know it, Lord, and preach it to ourselves along with our brothers and sisters and all who do not know you yet. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you, God, for who you are. I thank you that we have the confidence that you're lending your ear and hearing us being so far apart right now physically, but spiritually coming together now at the throne, asking for your mercy, Lord. I do pray, Lord, for our families in this church that are being affected. Lord, whether it be financially, nerves, Lord, please. In this time, may the church, may we remember one another in a sweet way. May we reach out to each other, Lord. Show love to each other. Not assume what we see on Facebook or anything like that, Lord. May we just call one another, Lord. Help us. Bring to mind one another, Lord, in a sweet way. Lord, I pray for the men, Lord, in their homes, the fathers. Help them to be strong in this time. To show that we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. That we have a sweet peace in Jesus Christ. Lord, may you help them, guide them. Lord, please protect the families in this time. Please protect each one of our elderly, Lord. Lord, we sow in this time, I pray, God, may this cause such a longing in all of our hearts. So look forward to that day that we will be allowed to come together. May that be a sweet day, God. A sweet day of fellowship, Lord. And embracing, Lord. Lord, I know that in this time, it's caused me to miss the congregation even more. Lord, I pray, please let them feel your presence in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I encourage you in this time, if you need anything, our leadership hasn't heard of anything specific yet, but don't hesitate to reach out to any of your leadership. I put their contacts in the email. We love you, and please don't hesitate.